This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's not a beautiful day in Dallas. It's not a beautiful day in Midland. It's not a beautiful day in Fort Worth. It's just kind of dreary today, isn't it?
Well, we're only a matter of days away from Christmas. And so when you get into Christmas Eve, everybody's got the Christmas on the brain and the last minute shopping to run out today and tomorrow. And then Monday, of course, is the big day. And then we're into the new year. And then before you know it, it'll be spring again.
Well, you are optimistic today.
Well,
wow.
Here's another optimistic thing for you. The days have already started to get longer again.
Wow.
Yes.
That's interesting information this month.
You're not ready for it, I know.
I really need to hear about that, about spring and, you know, the days are getting longer. Wow. At my house, at 5:15, it is dark.
Well, yeah. It's dark.
Yeah,
early.
5:15. And it's not daylight till what, 7:45?
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but yeah, something like that. It gets dark early.
And another interesting fact, where my little grandchildren go to school, everybody got sick this week. There was 27 out.
Oh.
And parents all went and got their kids, brought them home. And, of course, my grandchildren are with me. And, you know, everybody's sick at school. They've got colds. They've got the flu. The teachers are sick. So the children got an extra week off.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're happy as heck.
Yeah, that's a little Christmas gift right there.
It was a little Christmas gift, and they do not go back till January 9th.
Wow, well, my goodness. That's a long break.
It is a long break. Parents will not find it so funny, but I found it very funny. Because it doesn't matter. Mine are usually at my house anyway, so
yeah.
It won't make any difference.
Yeah.
The little four-year-old boy that has the ADHD, that's so hyperactive, his mother goes back to sleep the other morning. He's up all alone. He went to the Christmas tree and unwrapped every present.
Really?
Took everything apart.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes. I mean, it was not a happy time.
No, Santa Claus doesn't like those sorts of things.
He does not. It was not a good day at their house.
No, I would imagine probably not. Probably not going to be a good several weeks.
That's right. I mean, when everything's messed up, packages are torn open, wrapping paper's gone, and you have to start over?
Uh-oh.
it's just not a great day, really.
That's how you get on the naughty list in a big hurry.
That's right. But she didn't ask him why he did it. I would have asked.
Yeah.
I'd have said, you know, son, why in the world would you have done this? He had some explanation, probably.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, either he just wanted to, or he was looking for something.
Well, that's true.
He might have been looking for something.
Yeah, he just wanted to, or was looking for something. Wow.
Yeah, that's what that'd been my story.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking for something and couldn't find it.
I was looking for my socks. I thought they might be in one of these boxes.
Yeah, I love that one. That would have been a good one. You know, I'm looking for my sister. She's not home. I thought maybe she's in one of the boxes to surprise me.
Wow.
Oh, my. Well, anyway, let's give out the phone number.
Yeah.
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And don't forget, you can always go to the website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can go there. You can see what real people have been making from past investments. You can see exactly how the process works. You can read testimonials to see how other people have gone through the process. And this is really all about growing your money so that you can retire. You can retire happy. You want to retire wealthy. If possible, you want to go ahead and retire early. It's all part of the planning process, and a big component in that planning process is finding alternative ways to grow your money, because you have to be ready. You don't want to try to retire and then guess at how much money you have and, well, maybe we can make it, maybe we can't, I think we can. That's not responsible retirement. And in the end, that's not going to be fun, especially if people run out of money.
That's right. Nobody wants to run out of money. A lot of people are investing in this Bitcoin. You know, if that thing craters, it's going to cost people billions of dollars.
Oh, sure. Yes.
Because nobody knows for sure if it's really real.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't imagine if it's really real or not. But I would not speculate, folks. I'm not a speculator. I like for things to be orderly and nice and to work. Did you know that we have placed $4 million this week in policies?
Really?
We got a lot of policies at one time. We are finishing those up, placing people. The next policies probably won't come till the second week of January.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some that are going to close in January, but $4 million this one week that we have put people in.
That's an awful lot of policies.
It is. In one week, to do $4 million is almost unheard of. So we're really thankful for those policies. We're thankful to get all those people in them. We've still got policies that will be coming to their bank accounts. You know, we had $4.5 million that matured this week. The Estes policy matured. It had went 6 months over. Mr. Estes died on Monday. That'll be in everybody's account in 6 to 8 weeks. The other policy, Higginbotham, we only did it in September, and he died this week. It was supposed to have been 18 months.
He was
a lot sicker than everybody predicted.
My gosh, that's fast.
So it is fast, and it's going to make a lot of difference. And you know, all these policies, people have had really a great year. I mean, I think this is probably they've made more this year than they've ever made with us.
So with this policy that went 6 months over, I know that when a policy does go over, people have to pay the premiums on that policy. So, and I kind of want to do a comparison here about what people may have paid out in general on average and what they may have made as far as their profits go. So when a policy like this goes 6 months over, on a policy like this, and I know they're all different, but on a policy like this, what might be the premium that an average investor would be paying?
Well, it could be $500 a piece. It could be in $1,000. I don't remember. I should have looked that up this morning before we started, but I didn't. But they've only made one payment.
Okay.
There's only been one payment because, see, it just went 6 months over, so that would be one payment is all they made.
And so,
they would have only made a 6 month payment.
So for the profit margin compared to what they might have paid out, maybe a few hundred dollars, maybe up to $1,000. We're just guessing here, but compared to what they would have made, that's a very small percentage of the profit margin.
That's right, and you know, 6 months wasn't long for it to have gone over for what they made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made a very good profit, and they're going to get their money after the first. You know, in the next 6 weeks, they will get their money on that, and they'll be able to invest it, you know, in 18.
Yeah. But boy,
so, I'm really thankful that a big policy, you know, it was $4 million, Estes was. So there's a lot of people going to get, you know, a very, very nice return on that.
Sure. And even just knowing, just going into Christmas week, knowing that, hey, we've had this policy mature, a lot of people are going to get a very large check. Going in, even though the money's not in their account yet because it takes a few weeks, just knowing that it's on its way, that's got to be a huge Christmas present.
I think it is, too. And it just adds to what they've already made for the year. So, you know, I looked at the names on it, and there's a lot of people. I think there's about 30 people that are going to be getting a nice check on that.
Really, 30 people in this one policy?
Yeah, see, oh, wow. It's $4 million.
Goodness gracious, that's huge.
Yeah, it is. It's a big policy, $4 million. It takes a lot of people to fill a $4 million policy.
Yeah. So this one went over by 6 months, and the other one came in what was it, 4 months? You just did it in September.
Came in 4 months rather than 18.
Wow. And that's really kind of how things average out when investing in a life insurance policy. Sometimes they do go over. Sometimes they come in early. But in the end, over the long haul, the big picture, over the long period of time, it all averages out.
That's right. It really does. And the only ones that are not going to average out is those three old ones we're still hanging out the light for.
Yeah.
And when those are gone, it'll never happen again. And we won't have any of those 90-year-olds peeking around the corner.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're not sick. We know that now.
Yeah.
You know, but age is getting them to them now. And so imagine that I predict that those will mature in 18. I certainly hope so. You know, all the other ones in that one, you know, we had that one that came due, what, a month ago. And,
yeah.
The Denton Blend. And Mr. Denton is the last one left in that,
mm-hmm.
in the Denton Blend. We've had all the others, you know, come due. And we were thankful that the partner on that, you know, came due a month ago, Taylor. There was two Taylor policies, and those people all got paid. Now we're waiting on Mr. Denton and Mr. Lee. That's your two elderly gentlemen. And they're both in their 90s, so... You know, I think they'll probably just die of natural causes.
Probably.
I mean, you know, we've waited so long. I mean, that's my prediction.
Well, you know, and you touch on this from time to time, is there is a difference between an elderly person and a sick person. And so when investors are looking at other alternatives rather than the stock market, other ways to grow their money, they want to find the safest way possible. And I guess one of the things that you've learned since you started this many years ago is that when you have an elderly person like this, especially when they start getting into their 80s and their 90s and they're healthy, they're probably going to outlive all of their friends and probably half of ours.
That's right, because, you know, they're just old, and if you're just old, you get up and down every day, and that's about it. You know, you're not doing anything strenuous, and you're eating good still, so you're going to live a long time.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing thing. And we learned a hard, hard lesson, and we will not repeat that.
And so that's why now, when you offer these policies for people to invest in, there are always certain types of cancer. There are always policyholders that need to sell their policy for a number of reasons. But stage four cancer is really what you're looking for.
That's right. We're looking for cancer policies that are terminal. You know, when we read them, I don't want it to say in remission. I don't want to say that, you know, they see no signs of cancer. You know, we know those are still going to be good policies, but not till it comes back.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes back, yes, it'll be a great policy because we know that just gives them an extra year or two. But if it shows no cancer right now, we can't take that risk.
Yeah.
It's got to be a progressive cancer. And it's got to be metastasized. It's got to have already spread. It's just like prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Some types of prostate cancer, you can live 10 years.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We don't want that. I'm interested in the one that has spread to other organs, that the PSA is like, you know, 12 to 27. You know, if they've got a PSA of 4, this isn't going to kill them.
What's a PSA?
I can live with that. That is how they count your the rise of everything internally, okay, for your prostate. And doctors check that, and if it's like 4.5, you're not going to die, you know?
So the larger the number for the PSA, the more aggressive it is that fair to say?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
And so if it's high, they know there's something wrong, like, you know, you need to be checked for cancer. But the ones that are slow-acting, they can live 10, 12 years. And the fast-acting kinds go ahead and start spreading, metastasized, and, you know, the people need to sell those policies, and that's the one we would take. But I don't want one that says, it has regressed. We cannot see any cancer. You know, we do not need that. We need something that will help our clients as well as their client, okay?
Yeah, and I guess the thing worth mentioning here is that when somebody does need to sell their policy and they do have stage four cancer, is for a number of reasons. One of them is how expensive cancer treatments really are, and they need that money, and they need it quickly, and that's why they're selling their policy.
Well, this is exactly right. If you go to UT Southwestern, which I tout a lot because my clients have given a lot of money for research there, they can just pretty much tell you, you know, how aggressive your cancer is, how long they think you've got, or if they think with all their treatment there that they can save your life. And it's expensive. It's not, you know, some little bitty amount.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people go to MD Anderson, and it's a huge complex in Houston. It's also a wonderful cancer place.
Yeah.
Those are the two in Texas, you know, that really do research and do save lives. But it's so expensive, the ordinary person has got to cash in their life insurance or something, you know, in order to afford it.
Yeah, yeah. Because not only is the cancer treatment itself expensive, but then if there are side effects and somebody needs treatment for the effects of the treatment, then that's an additional cost, and it can be very, very expensive, and it adds up very, very quickly. And so for in order for this whole thing to work, for them to be able to afford the treatment, they need to be able to sell their policy, and there has to be somebody there to buy it.
That's exactly right, and that's where our clients come in. You know, we specialize in buying cancer policies of people who are terminally ill. This is going to help them a lot. And a lot of people know that theirs is too progressive. They can't do anything about it. So they want to get their estate in order. And so they want to get the money now where it won't be in a dadgum lawsuit for years or the family and the cousins and uncles and aunts fighting over it.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to me what people do when you're passed away. They all want to fight over what you've got. And it's just not right. I mean, I cannot imagine, you know, people fighting, but they do. And we handle several estates. And that's the first thing I find, that a sister will go up over a sister and try to steal the money and take it home. I mean, it's just not right.
Now, having been through this process several times with, you know, feuding families, have you ever had a family that just had like a history of arguing and bickering and they're just, you know, continuing their pattern? Or is this like a, like sometimes you'll see a family that normally gets along well and probably in the past may have said, oh, we're great, we love each other, we would never do anything like that. And then boom, all of a sudden something happens. There's a lot of zeros behind some numbers. And then people take a normally loving family and they turn into a bickering thing, and this turns into a big all-out war.
It does. It becomes an all-out war. And, you know, we've had some huge estates in Dallas over the years. And Harold Simmons is one of them, you know. Very, very wealthy family. And he had all these trusts for his daughters set up. And they got so much out of, you know, all these big corporations he owned. He was one of the biggest philanthropists in Dallas. He gave a lot of money, and it was named Harold and Simmons for him and his wife, Annette, at UT Southwestern. There's building after building named after him, and they've given $1 billion, as I always say. Well, these daughters out in Amarillo decided that they weren't getting their fair share and sued their father.
Really?
Yeah, and it was a spectacle in Dallas. And he settled it and paid those that one off, and that was all she's going to get. Just gave her money then and walked off.
One and done, no claim later in life.
No, no. And I don't imagine it was ever a friendly meeting after that.
Yeah.
But you see, she had a husband. The husband decided they weren't getting enough millions of dollars. And so he wanted his wife to sue, so she did.
Mm.
I mean, you know, it's a gift. He didn't owe that to his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've raised her, you sent her to college, made sure she had every luxury in the world, and that wasn't enough.
Wow.
And so, you know,
this kind of thing happens so often. And so to avoid that, People will go ahead, they'll sell their policy, they'll spread everything out, they'll make sure the right people get exactly what they want, and then at that point they can't make any claims later. It helps keep the family together. Hopefully they're already together and they can continue on that same path instead of bickering and you know, hating each other. So that's one of the reasons
exactly
as well.
Right.
And so in order for this to happen, they need to sell the policy. So you go in and American Financial will go bid on these against other companies, right?
We do. And, you know, we bid hard, we bid heavy. And like right now, we've got 44 bids out right here at Christmas.
Really?
There's no way we're going to close those until January or February, but we have got 44 bids out on policies right now.
So out of the 44, how many do you expect to actually probably legitimately, reasonably close on?
I think half.
Really?
We'll probably get half of those, yes.
Oh, that's a lot.
It is. And some of them are big and some of them are small. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you know, we have bid them. We're just waiting on the answers from these people. And sometimes they, you know, they just hem-haw around. They can't make up their mind. Yet they come to us and want to sell their policy. Then a lot of them think, well, maybe I can get more.
Mm.
And, you know, I've had it happen several times lately. 4 months ago, we bid some policies. Never heard a word. This week, hat in hand, they're coming to us and say, will you still buy our policies? Will you still close on them? Well, yeah, we bid it. We'll close on it. But see, they do silly things. They're not business people, is what I'm trying to tell you.
They're just holding out to try and create more buzz, maybe more value. What's happening?
Yeah, they're trying to get more money right at the last minute.
Hmm.
And if it's bid, they can bet we have bid as high as we're ever going to bid. And we probably outbid everybody else, but yet they went looking for a bigger buyer, for somebody to pay more. It isn't going to happen. People don't do that.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're not business people, and they don't always know how to treat a business decision. So they don't always make the right decision.
So then you go in, you bid on these policies, and say out of the 44, you end up with 22. Then that becomes, how does it work? Does it become your policy until it matures? Who owns?
No, it will become the trustee. It will be in the trustee's name at the bank. Remember, the bank holds all policies.
All right.
So when we buy these, we put it in the bank's name for our customers.
Okay.
And then the bank pays everything out.
All right,
always, the bank pays the people.
So you're the facilitator. Nobody ever comes and writes you a check at American Financial. They make it out to...
No, we would not allow that. We do not want anything... in our name. We want it in the name of the trustee for the customer.
And this keeps everything on the up and up?
Keeps everything honest, straightforward. When they and then the customer looks at the contract, the trustee looks at the spreadsheet, he knows who gets what percentage they own, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then the trustee pays everybody when the money gets to the account. But the trustee gets the money from the life insurance company and puts it in everybody's account.
Okay.
So that's why we pay these banks such a horrible amount of money, because they are responsible for getting that money to our clients.
So to make things simple, and again, I have to be really simple with this, but say you have a policy and it's $100, and I know they're way more than that.
$100, boy.
Like
I
say,
I want to see that living color.
We really got to keep it simple for me.
So yeah,
you got a policy that's $100, and you have two people in it. One of them is 70%, the other is 30%. And so they're hanging out waiting for the policy to mature. And then when it matures, the trustee already knows that, hey, when it does mature, this first person is going to get 70%, this other person is going to get 30%. There's no haggling, there's no mix-up, everything is already predetermined.
Predetermined from the time they sign the papers.
Okay, well, that seems pretty straightforward. It seems like it almost helps protect the investor that way, protects their investment.
Well, of course it protects the investor. When they sign their contract, they know exactly how much they've got coming. And the life insurance company is not going to haggle. They're not going to say, well, we'll pay you less. They're going to pay the face amount to the bank. Mm-hmm. Then the bank pays that amount out to my customers.
Sweet.
So so everybody knows what they're going to make going in. That page 14 tells our customers everything they need to know.
And what is page 14? What's on there? What kind of
page 14. It tells you, first of all, who the client is that we bought the policy from. Tells you their age. Tells you what kind of cancer they've got. Tells you what life insurance company has written the policy. And tells their rating. Tells if it's A, A+, A3, whatever it is. And tells you the face amount of that policy. Tells you what amount they put in, what they're going to make. Tells you what percentage. And then it tells you if it goes over what they'll owe. And so you know everything you need to know right there. You know what's wrong with them. You know what life insurance company. You know who the person is. And you know all the pertinent details of this transaction.
So all people have to do is when they're in, they just set it and forget it. And they just wait for it to mature.
They wait for an email from Faye saying, you have just had a maturity. This is what you've made, and this is when you're going to get paid.
Wow.
Yes.
Do you find that people...
And that happened twice this week.
That's amazing. Do you find that people will invest in a policy in the first maybe couple weeks? They're watching it. They go, oh, Faye, what's going to happen? Is it going to is it matured? Blah, blah, blah. And then they kind of go about their life and they just kind of forget it. And all of a sudden, when they get that email from you that says, hey, this policy has matured. You've got this much money. Have they forgotten about it, and so it's like a nice surprise?
No, they never forget.
They don't forget
about them. they can look them up online at any time. If they get antsy and say, Faye, we've had this policy for a while. How's it doing? You know, and we tell them, we haven't heard anything. And like, we had a client that got a divorce. Mm-hmm. And we had to take some of his policies and transfer them to his ex-wife, right? Well, we had gotten a couple of emails from her this week, not very nice ones. I want to know about that policy, blah, 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 just, you know, kind of hateful. And I'd forgot what her name was since, you know, she'd, you know, divorced him. So I asked the accountants at the office, I said, what about that? What's the situation? Oh, they said she's wanting all this information and she can't get it because it's not hers. You know, all she gets is information on the policies that have been transferred to her. So we're fixing to send it there. And guess what? She was in Estes, and it matured. So while she's being ugly and questioning all this, we called her back and said, oh, by the way, you're not going to get that information. Estes has matured. You're going to get your money. Yeah, so I know she'll be out of my hair and her ex-husband's hair.
Yeah, good riddance.
It is good riddance. She was not a nice lady.
So now, just to be clear, from my little simple math example before, there are no policies for $100. So don't.
Absolutely not.
That's just for example purposes.
That's right.
If somebody wants to invest, what kind of league are we talking about? What are the parameters here?
Well, first of all, they must be accredited. You know, accredited. They must make either $200,000 every year, or they've got to be worth $1 million without their residence. They can have rental homes, they can have a ranch house, they can have all kinds of stuff, farm equipment. You know, things of value that goes into their estate. The only thing that they do not allow is your house. Mm-hmm. So, if they're worth $200,000 every year, if they're making that kind of money. Or if you consider their bonus to get to the 200, it's fine. A lot of people this year are getting $50,000 to $75,000
bonuses. Yeah.
Because the economy's back up in Midland, Texas. And, you know, our people always got bonuses before the turn down, you know, in 14.
Yeah.
And I think I've talked to several people that are getting a bonus again. And I think one of our clients is getting $100,000. So, good times are here again.
So it is possible to take that bonus, and then instead of going out and using it on whatever, cars, vacations, houses, whatever, it is possible to take that bonus, come to you, and then turn that, say, $100,000 bonus into maybe $120,000 or $125,000 whenever the policy matures.
Yes. Well, and usually it's not the sometimes it's the bonus they bring us, but lots of times it's their old 401ks or a 401k that they've got excessive money in the stock market, and it's vested. If it's vested, they can take some of it out or all of it out. If it's not vested, some big companies say, no, until you either die, quit, or we fire you, you can't take your money out. So you have to know the company, that you have to know the HR department real well to know what the situation is, okay?
All right.
And once you find that out, you know, we can do business with you. Lots of times people have an IRA. An IRA can be transferred immediately. That's easy. You may just have old CDs. I had people this week calling, I've got a CD that's maturing. What do I do? Well, if you're accredited, you can bring the CD over, put it in a policy. We haven't talked about what these policies are making. You know, the average is about 22%. And it's an average of 12% a year because we try to pay 1% a month. So if it's a 24-month policy, you're going to get about 24%. Now, if it's sometimes it's only 20%, and that can happen. You know, sometimes it's a tough bid. And then sometimes we have a quick turnaround on policies that are just 12 months. Well, you're going to make 12%. And those are fast. And we've got some this year, you know, that came in 4 months that were 18-month policies. We had some that came in 6 months. So you never know.
It can vary. Sometimes they'll come in early. Sometimes they'll come in later. But the point of the whole thing is when you do this long term, it all averages out, and it's all part of a planning process. And so a lot of times what people will do is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they'll invest in a policy. They'll get that first payout. They'll make that first profit, and then they'll reinvest it in maybe one, maybe two policies. Is that right?
Well, usually three or four after the first deal.
Sure.
And right here at the end of the year, we've had people bring in $50,000. I've had people bring in $100,000 because they've had such a good year, they want to put more money in. And they've got more money right now that's come due, and they're putting it with us. And, of course, you know, there was a guy earlier in the year when we were really struggling to get all those policies, you know, put together, that said, I think I'll just take my money and put it in the stock market. Well, that's fine, but he won't make what he makes with us. You know, it's up and down. Now, right now, the stock market's higher than it's ever been. But if that thing hits a bubble, you know, you should have already taken your profit out.
So
that's what people have been talking about. You know, taking your profit. My gosh, don't be greedy. You've got that much profit made, take it out and get it secure.
So it's almost
that's what I'd recommend.
A given that, because we all know what goes up must come down, it's almost a given that at some point this thing, this high that the stock that Wall Street is on is going to bust, and people stand a risk of losing a lot of money. Do you think that maybe it might be like a 2008 again, or is that
I
a little
really
bit?
I don't really know. My prediction is you've made money this year with me. You know it's secure. You know how that works.
Mm-hmm.
If you're antsy about the stock market, since it has went up high, take your profit out, and that way that money is secure. In other words, secure part of that money. Don't just leave it in there at risk. You know, don't be so greedy that you end up losing it next year or the next.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of what I would do. Everybody's on their own. You know, if you can outsmart the market and me, that's fine. But I don't think so.
Well,
we've been right all along this year. The policies we've sold people have made a lot of money. People have had a great year. They're going to have a great 18. I don't know what people have made total, but we'll be adding it up before the end of the year just to see what their entire return was.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's some people have made $400,000 this year. I know some have made $200,000. So I know there's great returns on almost every policy. And then there's a few that didn't have any return this year. You know, their policies are not due yet. They haven't come due. But, you know, they will, and they will make the money. That's the way it works.
So it's just a waiting game. We're not waiting for anything else to happen except the policy to mature. That's it.
That's right. That's all we're waiting on.
Because we all know that anything can affect the stock market. You know, worldly events, breakout of war, you know, anything can happen. And I know with, you know, the tax bill passing, and I know with everything that's going on right now, things, like you said, are very, very high on Wall Street. But at some point that may crash. And you want to avoid those types of things. So what do you predict, and I know it's just a prediction, but when you look at 2018, you look at, you know, the landscape of what's happening in world events, you look at the market, and being as high as it is it like a balloon? We just keep blowing it up, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and at some point it's gonna pop? Do you think that might be happening? Are we set up? Is it prime for something terrible to happen on Wall Street?
Well, I don't know. Remember this, world affairs affects everything. If something happened in the world, it could deflate the stock market. We don't know. But I do know that the taxes that are everybody's going to save is going to be a wonderful thing. I don't care if people on the other side of the aisle keep saying, oh, this is just terrible. The reason they think it's terrible, they don't believe in tax relief. They believe that everybody should be taxed till they don't have any money left. And I'm not on my soapbox, really. I mean, it sounds like it, but I'm not. I think the middle class, even the corporations, have needed this break for 30 years. You know, when you're being taxed at 39%, it's hard to make a dadgum profit. And I think the 20% is going to do so much for our country. And it should trickle down, because a lot of the big companies have already announced they're going to give $1,000 to every employee.
Yeah.
And if that isn't a good thing, I don't know what is. And the deductions, $24,000 for a husband and wife, that's tremendous.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody making $50,000 won't even pay tax, I don't believe.
So,
you know,
when we see companies like AT&T and some other ones that have gone ahead and they've announced that, you know, I think 200,000 employees are all going to get $1,000 bonus, what does that do to investment? What does that do to, you know, people's retirement? How does all that play in to the big picture?
Well, look at it this way. All the 401ks are going to increase because the stock is going to go up because the taxes are going to be less. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Everybody, all the big corporations, it's all 401k money. You know, and they are the investors. They, you know, they have 401ks with those companies. They also, you know, have stock usually in their company plus other companies. So the tax rate going down is going to help all the stockholders, which is mid-income America.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the $1,000, that's money that employees can take. And they can put it to good use. They can reduce their mortgage. They can use it to pay down something where they'll have more money. So it's going to affect everybody in the end. It's going to help everybody.
So then correct me if I'm wrong. As people's the value of people's 401k goes up, this is the time to take it when it is up. Invest it in something that is a little bit more secure. Because when you invest in a life insurance policy, the results are not affected in the least little bit by Wall Street, by worldly events, anything. All year, literally all that policyholder is doing is waiting for the policy to mature. Nothing else can devalue it.
That's exactly right. And we have a lot of people been calling this week because they've got CDs maturing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those CDs aren't making a dime. Why in the world would you have a CD right now that pays 1%? I mean, I'm scratching my head. You know, they can come over with us and make about 12% every year. And I think it's, to me, the safety issue is there. It's a life insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
And they all believe in life insurance, so why wouldn't they believe in a life insurance policy they own?
Mm-hmm.
See, they own it. So why in the world would it just be just as good as of the one you've got on your own life? That doesn't make any sense, does it?
It does not, no.
No. And our people, a lot of them are getting ready to retire next year or the next. So now would be a good time to switch over, because with us, you know, they can go on making interest every year for the rest of their life.
Sweet.
And do it safely.
This is your money.
And there's risk. Now, we always talk about the risk, don't we?
Yes.
The risk are the policy can go over. It could cost you money. You must have money to pay premiums. If you don't have money to pay premiums, you can't do this in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't take anybody that's broke. Everybody has to have investment money. So that's the big risk. The next risk is if you suddenly need money and you don't have any money at home, that's not a good deal. We would not let you in. You have to have other emergency money. So, you know, we caution people about that. Tell us the truth. If you've got $300,000, $400,000, you're safe. We're going to do a deal with you. But if all the money you've got in the world is $50,000, no, you can't do it. So that's really your big risk right there.
And then if a life insurance policy goes under?
Yes, if a life insurance company ever did, the Texas Guarantee Fund would have to pay you. Or they would resell it immediately. We haven't ever had that happen. So really the first risk is your big risk.
Okay.
And we take that risk away from you every day. We're not going to let you make that risk. We're not going to let you come in if you don't have the money.
Yeah, because the whole point is to grow your money, not lose your money.
That's exactly right. And we can't take little, small investors.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they want us. They call every day, but no, we're not going to do that.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to my friends at Ivy Cottage. I was thinking about them as I'd been given the address. I was thinking about, you know, has everybody been over there? Have they bought anything?
Yeah. We're running out of time.
That's right. We're running out of time. Now is the time to buy something for your wife, your girlfriend, if you have a girlfriend and no mm-hmm. wife, your daughter. I mean, they've got great things over there. It's been great all the years I've known them. They have a lot of wonderful things.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, and I apologize, we're running a little late. We got into all this money-making stuff. So every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, whether it's a neat you know, fact about some famous person or someplace to go, something to do. What are we talking about today?
Well, this is somebody very, very famous. And it didn't happen yesterday. It happened back in the 50s. But this famous person named Linda Lee Lama, okay? The story of Linda Lee is related to us by Paper City. They did a story on Linda Lee. It's a story everyone's heard before, she says. I grew up on my family's farm in a small town. A scout happened to be passing through, noticed my long legs, and the next day I was on a jet to Paris. Well, Linda Lee, you stole the show at Neiman Marcus in 1959 on their South American fortnight. Well, she says, when Stanley Marcus rang my agent and asked me to be a part of it, I was so honored. Then there was the matter of where I would stay. Fortunately, Conrad Hilton absolutely insisted I check into a suite at the Statler. I hear the remodeled hotel is using my likeness everywhere. Well, it is flattering, but really, they should have named the presidential suite after me. She says, well, even Audrey Hepburn has a room named for her. And if you ask me, darling, her talent and impact on Dallas was just so-so. So then, she goes on to say, well, you rubbed elbows with all the greats back in the day, including Barbara Streisand. Oh, who didn't? She says the truth is, though, at the Oscars in 1969, she was so rude on the red carpet, I almost spat in her face. Naturally, first class all the way. She said, I love Southern hospitality. Reminds me of my farm roots. From the minute I pranced off that Brannett International jet in Dallas, I was given such a warm welcome. Neiman's picked me up in a Cadillac limousine. She said, I will never forget it. Air travel isn't what it used to be. Now I only fly private. She said, I had hoped to spend more time exploring the city, but the cameras were everywhere. Luckily, the hotel staff ensured I had everything I needed in my room. I was very particular. I won't sleep on hay that has less than a 700 blade count. And I travel with my fur colorist, my spiritual healer, and hoof colorist. She said, "You do know llamas, alpacas, and camels, such dear cousins, are the sole existing, even-toed, with peculiar bumps on the soles of our hoofs. I must take care. I was so comfortable at the Staffler. Dallas in October is a dream. I extended my stay. I was the resident llama for 2 full weeks. I galloped down to Neiman's, just down the street, to buy alpaca sweaters and camel hair coats. I had to send dozens of packages back home to L.A. I was a big fan of Dior and Chanel back then. I still am. And you know, during my trip to Dallas for the South American fortnight, I met Raul, a tall, handsome alpaca, with the most beautiful black coat I'd ever seen. He was a dear friend of Walter Mueller, the former Chilean ambassador to the U.S. and the night's guest of honor. Raul was a Jose da Silva to my Holly Golightly. We ran away to Peru. That's where we raised our 7. Our ranch in the Andes is still my home base, but I spend most of the year hoofing it to the U.S. and France. Now I still go to Paris and New York for the shows. Before my Hollywood days, I was absolutely revered for my signature long legs, a natural model. I also have a large fan base in China, so I have a place in Shanghai. I love Dallas. The city holds so many special memories. For 80, you do look fabulous. Can you imagine? This is my favorite story on llamas."
You have llamas at your house.
I do have llamas, but mine don't talk and don't model. Oh, my goodness. Linda Lee Lama. Now, she stayed at the Statler Hilton in the 50s, and I have a picture of her checking in at the desk. Oh, my gosh. She was a great model and went all over the world on Braniff.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine? Linda Lee Lama. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's a great story.
It is a great story. I thought everybody would love that. Oh, man.
Oh, that's the best.
Yes. Linda Lee Lama and her long legs.
You need to turn some of your llamas into models and travelers.
I do. If I just had someone to spend the time training them, because llamas love everybody, and they love to perform. They love to dress up. You can put a hat on them. You can put a vest on them. You can put a tie on them. They don't care. And, you know, I go to a lot of parades, and they have their llamas.
Yeah.
And the llamas just prance along, and they're so proud, you know. And but mine don't talk, and mine have never modeled. Oh, my God.
Are they as even tempered as what they sound like?
They are even-tempered. I've never seen one of them mad, ever. Now, they will correct one of the other llamas.
Oh, really?
If the llama gets out of line, they'll come down the hill with one of us in front of them. They never get in front of us. They follow you down, and then they know which one's supposed to eat first. If somebody else comes up to eat first, they back them up and make them get in line. Oh, my gosh. And our little one that is not even 2 goes down every day to see them.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to go down in the mornings and see his llamas. He's crazy about them. And one day he fell over, and the llama rushed over there and was smelling him instantly when he fell over.
Really?
Yes, she immediately rushed over to him.
Wow.
And if he gets too close, they back up.
How neat. They sound like they're so smart, too.
They are very smart. They really are.
Wow.
Of course, I don't know if they're as smart as a 2-year-old. Man, a 2-year-old is awfully smart.
I know some people who aren't smart as a 2-year-old.
Yes, I do, too. Oh, my gosh.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. And I hope everybody's been over there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope everybody's ready for Christmas. There's so many wonderful things about Christmas. The look on every child's face on Christmas morning is divine.
Yes.
You know, and there's just nothing like it. And, you know, I didn't know about all these elves. I've learned about the naughty elves that are creating havoc at people's home, and then they leave and don't come back till next year. Do you know about all those elves?
I don't think I do.
Oh, my gosh. Every family that has children has these naughty little elves. And you wake up in the morning, and sometimes they're hanging from the fans. They may have taken the books out of the bookcase. They create havoc wherever they go. They'll get on your fireplace and do something. But you can't touch them. Humans can never touch those little elves.
Oh, is this the Elf on the Shelf?
Elf on the Shelf, yes.
Okay, all right. I've heard of it, but I don't really know the whole concept.
Oh, yes, and I don't know who thought it up. It's the best thing in the world. And, and they know if you've been naughty or nice. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a story on the Internet. These people in Houston, or Florida, I believe it was, their German Shepherd dog got a hold of it and tore it. It was an emergency, and the lady worked as a nurse for a surgical team. She called them. They went into action. They put this little elf on the operating table. They operated on it and made it well and returned it to the owner and the little girl.
Oh,
it's
how
the
sweet.
Greatest story.
Oh.
You know, I just love it when people do things for little kids, you
yeah.
know, and make things better for them. But I think Christmas is a special time of year. I think it's great for all the charities that we help, like the Shriners, hospitals, you know, St. Jude and Cal Farley's in Amarillo, Texas. There's just so many wonderful things, and it makes people feel better when they've given, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot better to give than to get something. Did you know that?
It really is, yeah. It's a totally different feeling.
It is. It's totally different. And we have the Cumberland Children's Home, and they needed bicycles, and I thought that was a great thing this year, to give bicycles to the children's home. People forget. Children's homes, you know, they don't have anything. And if somebody didn't give them something, they don't even have anything of their own. You know, they don't own anything, really.
Yeah, they desperately rely on those donations.
They really do. And so that was one of my causes this year, to give to Cumberland's bicycles and things that would help little kids. And I added that to my charities for the year.
Wow.
And I love it when people, you know, tell me of the charities that they did, you know. And as you know, my son is a Mason, and they do so much charity, and I like to give to their charities, you know.
Yeah.
Because they have so many that they help. And Masons have been in business a long, long time, since 15th, 16th century, when they guarded the coaches for people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so just a lot of good things happening at Christmas, and I hope that everybody has given, and that they've helped somebody other than themselves.
Yeah, and it doesn't always take a lot. It doesn't have to be a fortune.
Just
whatever you have to work with.
Yeah, if you gave just $19, that's what they say on television.
Yeah.
I think whatever you can afford would be good.
It really is a wonderful time of year.
It is, and of course we all know why we have Christmas, because it was the night that Christ was born, and of course he was born on hay.
Yes.
Now, there wasn't anything luxury about that.
No, no, no.
And I wonder how many of us could have made something of ourselves if we were born in a barn.
I'm going to guess not many.
I don't think we would have done real well in life, do you?
No, I don't.
So I always think about that also, in addition to all the other things. And I think one thing we should all challenge ourselves is just to be nicer next year.
Exactly. And so maybe as we go into the new year, people will go ahead and maybe make a whole year out of generosity instead of just maybe the holiday season.
Well, and I think that's what everybody should do is say, okay, this coming year, what can I do to help somebody else? The food bank, you know, always runs out of food. The West Texas Food Bank is another, you know, real good charity that helps a lot of people when they're down on their luck.
Yeah, yeah. There's always always plenty of opportunity to help somebody out.
If people would just go and look for it, you know, instead of saying, well, I just don't know how I could help. And I can remember years ago, there was people that right at Christmas, they lost their job and couldn't pay their utility bills.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave through the church on that particular one and set up a utility bill trust that people could come to the church and say, you know, I cannot pay my utility bill. Could you help? And they would. And that's another important thing because you and I don't think about people losing their job at Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
But every once in a while, people do. And, you know, a lot of people just live from paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a totally bad deal.
Yeah.
Because they don't have anything saved.
And then especially at the holiday time.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the big deal here in Dallas that gives, I can't even tell you how many, maybe 3,000, 4,000 gifts every year. Somebody broke in and stole all the gifts this year.
Are you serious?
Yeah, broke into it, into the warehouse. So everybody heard about it, and they gave double.
Wow, that's so nice.
And they said, we're not going to let these thieves get ahead of us.
That's excellent.
And so they gave double to replace all those gifts. And then they'll have a day, and people that don't have any money can go there and pick out some gifts for the children.
That is really fantastic.
Yeah, I think so, too. It would really help families that have nothing, you know. They have jobs, but not enough left over to give their kids anything. Kids are everything. So, us adults don't need much.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't. So as we go into the new year, what should people be doing like this week and next week? Is this the time where, you know, maybe, you know, hold off on trying to come in, you know, gather, you know, get through the holidays and then come in like the first part of January? Is that what you would recommend? Or
yes. Usually, as you know, we usually close Christmas to the first day of the year.
Yeah.
Now, if it's an emergency and you've got to put some money in, you know, you can call the office and, you know, we'll take care of it. But usually, unless we've got policies that we just have to do next week, which could happen, otherwise we will be closed.
Okay.
We give that time off for our employees to be with their families.
And so then, after that, we start getting into the new year and we start making appointments. So one last time, Faye, what is that phone number that people need to call?
It's 877-588-3330, and we're 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.